all your major docks. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm. If your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. The Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Avast, me hearties. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Broadcasting today from out of international waters, you've tuned in to episode 55 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host and ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. While skies over South Korea today remain heavily sprayed, Pokemon Go is all the rage, so don't expect too many of these spy tech sleepers to be casting their GPS gaze upward anytime soon. Once again, we're joined tonight by California lawyer, documentary filmmaker, and author of several hard-hitting books, including Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. Abomination, Devil Worship, and Deception in the West Memphis 3 Murders. And Children of the Beast, Aleister Crowley's Shadow Over Humanity. Our discussion seeks to shed light and lend clarity to all things Pizzagate. Over the course of these eyes wide open, 90 minutes or so, we'll explore everything from WikiLeaks and the Podesta brothers to the controversy surrounding chic, avant-garde, and spirit-cooking artist Marina Abramović. While most mainstream news outlets and establishment agencies claim Pizzagate is all nothing more than a lunatic conspiracy theory, unfazed researchers insist pedophilia, child trafficking, abduction, and ritual murder are all a lot more real than what any of the world's political power brokers will ever want you to know. Along with an occult 9/11 Facebook account, Ramsey's main websites include occultinvestigations.com and his William Ramsey Investigates YouTube channel. April Fool's Day here in South Korea today. Unfortunately, there's probably nothing all that funny people are going to find about Pizzagate. Funny, of course, in a queer, kind of peculiar and strange way, but that's likely about as far as it goes. I think we have William Ramsey here. He was on board. He dropped by the Robin Hood last year in May for episode, I think it was 15. Has he wandered away to get another glass of ice water, or...
I'm here.
Well, that's great. Hey, it's been almost a year. How about that, eh?
It's hard to believe. Time has literally flown past, so I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. You were actually turned out to be one of our most widely watched... The show that we did with you was one of the most popular overall, so a lot of people Good. Wanted to tune in and listen and check out what it was that you had to say about Crowley and his Shadow Over Humanity. A lot of people pronounce that name Crowley, of course, too, and I know that you've got something to say about that. You know that it's actually Crowley, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Crowley rhymes, his poem, it was The Beetle, he rhymes Crowley with holy. I think if you abide by his pronunciation, it would be Crowley, but Ozzy Osbourne pronounces it Crowley, so depends on who you rely upon, I guess.
Exactly. You've been pretty busy the last little while as well, caught up in all of this Pizzagate debacle and scandal, really, which seems to be quite systemic. It's hardly anywhere you look that you can't see traces or evidence of these sort of dark, underhanded, and dirty shenanigans taking place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a remarkable event in American political history, this revelation or the revealing of these strange type of terminology that were uncovered in the Podesta emails that were leaked to WikiLeaks. Not hacked, but actually leaked to you know, this third party kind of disclosure organization, WikiLeaks. And I think it was something very unique in American history.
I actually, there was somebody who came on, they were engaged with us over on our WPRPN Facebook group the other day, and we got engaged in a bit of a conversation. It was really quite strange. Wasn't sure what to make of things exactly, but his claim was that WikiLeaks had nothing to do with Pizzagate on any level, and that he was demanding proof and so on and so forth, and that even...
Well, like I can interject and say that's 100% and totally false.
Well, that was my thought, too. So that was really strange, especially coming from someone who claimed to be one of these anonymous people with their own podcast and the like.
Well, I would be interested in finding that out, because it was the leak of the Podesta emails that led people to other evidence and other indications that something very untoward was happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, John Podesta was the chief of staff for the Clintons. He worked in the White House. This is a very high-level political operator for the Democrats. And inside his, you know, these WikiLeaks emails that were leaked were all kinds of strange references. Things like somebody sending him an email, the realtor found a handkerchief. I think it has a map that seems pizza-related. And people were reading these going, what the heck is going on? What's pizza? And that's how the Pizzagate got its term, is this reference for pizza that's known within the pedophilia community as representing young girls. So that's really what got people started and bounced around. They noticed the symbols that were around that area of Northwest Washington, D.C., these little kind of squirrely figures, these hearts and stuff that were on, literally on some of these buildings. I mean, it's pretty remarkable, but down the street from this place that John Podesta and his brother used to go for fundraisers, there was a place called Besta Pizza that had a symbol for pedophilia on its signage. It was subsequently, after everything was revealed, right before the election, that was taken down. But really, the Pizzagate hit in late October, early November, with this kind of WikiLeaks rolling out these John Podesta emails.
Right in the lead-up to this recent American presidential election. Isn't that something? Just the time.
Well, it's really something. It's mm-hmm. It's pretty clear to me that people looked into this these WikiLeaks and used it for political advantage. People on the right found this, and it wasn't just things that related to pizza, but there was also references to this kind of bloodletting or blood drinking ritual called spirit cooking that involved an outright witch by the name of Marina Abramovich, who some people have said it really enjoys Crowley. I've read part of her biography. She used to go into her closet to contact discarnate entities. So she's associated with the Podestas, but also associated with other noted figures. She's been seen pictured with Robert De Niro, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian. And we know Kim Kardashian used to use blood on her face as a beauty kind of remedy or something like that. So this person that was in the John Podesta emails, this girl Abramovich, was something else. She's been seen with people who have been suspected of being in the OTO, people like James Franco, who was in a video with another OTO member by the name of Kenneth Anger, who I cover in my book, Children of the Beast, which came out last year. So it was interesting to see this kind of woman who is associated with the political and cultural elite in the United States.
6 degrees of bacon, as we like to say here on the Robin Hood. There's really so many pieces here to the puzzle. And you being a lawyer, of course, too, it's all about building a case.
It's a very good point you say. There's been no direct evidence of overt law breaking. So there's nothing. I'm not saying these people are pedophiles, but I am saying that there's clearly in that area there were symbols of pedophilia. There were very sketchy, shady things going on. What happened is after people read the Podesta emails that were on WikiLeaks, they discovered that they were going to this place called Comet Ping Pong that was owned by James Alefantis. And they found his Instagram account, and people wisely took screenshots and saved him before he shut down his Instagram account. And on there were all kinds of weird pictures of kids and pizza and really sexually charged stuff and references to Haitian sauce, like all these weird code words that were also seen in the Podesta emails were seen on the James Alefantis Instagram account. So that was really something else to investigators. And there's actually been kind of protests in front of Comet Ping Pong. There was actually a recent Pedogate or Pizzagate protest in D.C. that was sparsely attended to that featured people who've been following the story. So it still is kind of going on. I mean, people are still researching this, but it really hit a very white-hot fever pitch right before the election and died down after November 8th, right? But it's still happening. And there was something that was interesting that happened with Alex Jones, who actually came out in general denial in very lawyerly talk, very out of character for him, actually using general denials, blaming it on two former employees about talking about Pizzagate. So that was also very interesting. But the emails and the Instagram pictures speak for themselves, and they will be on the record forever. So this Marina Abramović, who has carved a downward-facing pentagram on her chest or on her stomach. So there's actually a reference. So, you know, I know Crowley, or Crowley, however you want to say it, but Crowley, in the Podesta emails, there's a reference to Thelema. And we know that Thelema and Agape were two of Crowley's main terms, comes from Greek. Thelema is the will. But somebody is asking one of the Podestas, you know, can you do a Thelema for me? And it's a pretty remarkable element of, you know, what's in those Podesta emails.
A lot of material that we have to cover here today. Still, it looks like about another 75 minutes left to go here, and we've hardly managed to, well, we're just basically getting started here. Things are heating up in the YouTube streaming chat area, which is great to see. We've got about 9 people, looks like, right off the bat here. Zane Ivy checking in. Have not seen him in the live streaming chat until just today. The two pirate Joes. There are a couple of the regulars, of course. And Rillavid from Minds.com. I think he's an independent musician, actually, from out of the States, one location or another. We're actually going to be doing an independent music showcase featuring Minds artists next week. So it's good to see all these folks dropping by. I hope we didn't miss anyone here. We've got to actually see who's up in the crow's nest there today, too. We haven't heard from Pirate Larry, so let's just check in on him and see how things are going there. Doing his job as always, manning the post. Pirate Larry, are you there? That's strange. Pirate Larry seems to be, there's no answer. Who knows what's going on? That's odd. I wonder if he's maybe a little too much rum, too many shots of rum or something up there tonight. Hopefully he didn't fall into the waters. That's quite a drop from way up there in that high perch. Well, we'll have to check back on him later, maybe. Quite odd. You know, there were rumors going around, too, earlier that maybe he had got into some kind of altercation at a local pub or bar with a few ruffians. So hopefully everything's all right on his end. So we got that taken care of. That's all covered. But yeah, there's really a lot of ground that and a lot of issues that we could address here. Most of what you've brought up so far, William, I'm vaguely familiar with. I've been trying to do my best to follow things without getting too depressed, you know, because it is really quite sad. There seems to be, as far as I'm concerned, extreme systemic corruption, frankly. And this is not just Washington. This is not just the state of Baltimore or just, you know, the East Coast or just America. It seems to be a global problem, really, within the highest corridors of power right across the world. Would that not be fair to assume, based on what, you know, for people that have looked into these things? I'm sure you know a lot more about it than I. You've written several books dealing with the West Memphis 3 murders. That's, I'm not sure how related that is exactly, but with Crowley and his influence on these people that are heavily involved in the dark side of the occult. Just quickly then, what kind of an influence, why do people do this anyways? I mean, you got people like Kinsey, of course, with the, was it the Kinsey Report back in the day and the influence he had on pop culture and just general, the field of, I guess, what, psychology and so forth. I mean,
human sexuality was really Kinsey's kind of main goal, but it was interesting. All of the science, so-called science, or scientism, if you want to determine it that way, his conclusions are the same as satanic conclusions, which is total freedom, no restrictions, pedophilia. So I think that has seeded itself, or his ideals have seeded themselves through the modern culture all the way up into societies as different as Belgium, England, or the UK, the United States, and you know, some of these other places, Netherlands, where they've had these types of Pizzagate style or element sex scandals. So this is happening. And I think what's happening in the United States particularly is remarkable, because when people did some investigating and research into the Pizzagate thing, they found that some of these attorneys that were in the area of where Comet Ping Pong were making comments on James Alefantis's Instagram account. So I find that to be pretty fascinating.
One more time, what exactly are you saying that the attorneys...
There was a guy by the name of Aaron Rao, and he was somebody who they found was commenting, and he was an attorney who was commenting. He was actually a federal, if I remember correctly, he was a federal attorney overseeing human trafficking, commenting on James Alifantis' Instagram account.
Once again, you know, 6 degrees of bacon, but probably not enough just on the basis of that to prosecute anyone.
No, I don't think there's enough evidence in any of this information to prosecute, but there's definitely enough evidence to justify an investigation by the government. No question.
Well, here's the thing, too, that we should bring up in light of what you've just presented there. Ivanka Trump, what are your thoughts on the efforts that she's been making so far? It sounds like, I'm not sure how closely you've been paying attention to things or following her efforts, but she's supposedly orchestrating a campaign to really crack down on America's pedophiles.
Well, you can tell from recent information that's put out in the mass media that there is a crackdown. There have been something like 1,500 to 2,000 arrests of pedophiles and people in positions of power. Politicians, doctors, and police officers have been arrested since Trump has come into office on January 20th. So I do think that something's happening. The specifics of what Ivanka Trump is doing, I don't know, but I've read somewhere that she is involved in this. And it's pretty clear that she has an office and is very close to her father in the White House, but I don't know the real specifics.
You know, it's interesting that you mention these upstanding, what some would like to have us believe, are upstanding citizens. In the UK, there is several of these related scandals that I think, in fact, this might have been in light or following the whole Seville, that whole business of what came to light regarding Jimmy Seville. But as it turned out, the majority of these pedophiles that ended up getting caught and charged were Freemasons, if you can believe that. They weren't Muslims.
I can.
They
weren't, I can definitely believe
they
that.
They weren't farmers. They were, you know, they weren't plumbers. They were Freemasons. You know?
And it would explain why it was covered up as well, and why Jimmy Savile got away with it until, you know, his death.
That would be part of it, I'm sure, as well as people's just reluctance. You know, I've seen some of the documentaries that people like Louis Theroux interviewed. He did a famous, spent time with Seville.
Right.
And then after he died and everything kind of broke coming to the surface, that he did a follow-up to that. And the people that he talked to that had worked with Seville for many cases, quite a few years, their way of responding to things was, I don't know. It was just really bizarre. It was like they didn't even make an attempt, frankly. Nobody even, they thought, yeah, he's weird. That guy's, there's something not quite right with this guy. Some of them even said it was well known throughout the BBC, because he was, I think that was that part of this Top of the Pop show was put on and sponsored by the BBC, that it was well known. He was very touchy-feely, and he was a pervert, basically.
Yeah, he was a stone-cold pedophile, and there were other people who knew Savile in the BBC who were also pedophiles. So it was endemic. It was actually systemic, I would describe it as that. In my book, Children of the Beast, I cover this guy by the name of Tom Dreiberg, who Americans don't know very well, but he was a very well-known left-wing or labor politician in England. He was actually Crowley's supposed heir, and he was friends with Jimmy Savile. And Dreiberg was friends with other people in the political party, and they were pedophiles. People had said, oh, you know, these guys are up to no good. They're soliciting children. And Dreiberg was also like a bathroom tap dancer. In kind of English parlance, it would be kind of like somebody who hung out. They called it cottaging is the term, because there were all these public cottages. The interesting thing about Dreiberg is that he was featured in a recent movie about the Cray brothers. It was called Legend. And inside that movie, they talk about this pedophilia, but the set designers included a statue of this kind of person who was deified back in the Roman Empire. His name was Antinous, and he was a 14-year-old gay lover of the Emperor Hadrian, Hadrian of the Hadrian Wall, you know, this thing that was built between England and Scotland. But the interesting aspect is not only was it included in this movie Legend, but that was the icon for James Alifantis, this statue of Antinous, this idealized representation of kind of man-boy, underage, teen love. So I found that, you know, to be interesting, not only as its tie-in with the English pedophilia, but how this kind of representation of Dreiberg and the Krays fit in with this whole Pizzagate thing.
And Nambla sort of culture, as to what you're, I guess, alluding to here, the national, what is it, the Man-Boy Love Association.
National Association of Man-Boy, National Man-Boy Love Association or something like that. Yeah. National, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Milo, I can't pronounce his last name.
Yiannopoulos.
Okay. The Greek gay guy that's the poster child of the alt-right, I guess, that so many people seem to love, with, you know, at least the coming, you know, things.
Well, he actually acts kind of like a, as a kind of sinkhole for people who accuse the right of being anti-gay or anti-homosexual.
Right.
So they can say, oh, we have Milo. He's gay, right? Yeah, yeah. And he actually, if you watch him over time, he actually plays that up. He actually is overly flamboyant in my to fulfill that role.
Sure. As kind of, well, there's a lot too that are alt-right, I guess, or whatever that really is, if you want to break it down. I'm not sure if this is maybe the time and maybe another show with that particular. But the point I was, I guess, trying to make, he was on the Joe Rogan show, and then I think there was another one that he'd appeared on earlier, and they took, there's a clip you can see of that. We'll maybe add it to the show notes, I guess, throw the link in there. But talking about this business of man-boy love and his, speaking from personal experience.
In Hollywood, right?
That too, the party.
I think he was referencing something, what he experienced in Hollywood.
Well, there's that, but also the Catholic priest experience. And then, of course, then there's right around that time, George Takei. Oh, my. I like George Takei by and large myself, just, you know, the Sulu character and whatnot. But what was he saying? He's something about the summer camp, and that was his first, you know, gay experience, and that he was, I don't know, there's something that went on between him and an older camp counselor. And but anyways, the way that the media, some within the media tried to spin that, was that he was promoting or advocating man-boy love, or, you know, and there's a distinction that's got to be made here, too. There's pedophilia, and then there's underage sort of sexual relations, if you follow what I'm getting at, in the sense of they haven't reached adolescence yet. They haven't, you know, puberty, basically. So pedophilia, I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, it's like people that have this thing for children in a kind of creepy sexual erotic way, whereas you've got the underage issue, and that is after puberty. You know, it's illegal, you know, with, so what's the age of consent, you know, 14 15 16, whatever it is. Do you want to maybe speak to that?
Well, I think that Yiannopoulos talked about his experience and kind of justified it, his experience with a priest. And I also think, if I remember correctly, Takei also said something kind of scandalous, and it actually is very similar to the founder of kind of the gay rights movement, you know, this guy who talked about how he was molested, and somebody who I covered in my book, you know.
Harry Hayes?
Harry Hayes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you see, and he was also a supporter of NAMBLA. So you see this kind, and he would actually,
big time.
The interesting thing about Harry Hayes is he actually used to play the piano or organ in early OTO rituals that involved Jack Parsons, you know, the famed Jack Parsons of JPL and stuff like that. So Harry Hay, you know, if you read Children of the Beast, I talk about him in detail, but he's really the founder, and shows that within the kind, and this is a person who fought for rights for NAMBLA within the gay community, that in my opinion, from my reading of that, that there is definitely a streak or a vein of that kind of pedophilia within NAMBLA. And if you even look at, like, you know, some of these other well-known figures, who was the guy who was killed in San Francisco with Moscone? What was his name? God, I can't remember the San Francisco
guy. Zodiac killer? No.
It was Moscone. And anyway, this guy, he was also kind of a gay figure, but he also liked men who were underage. Harvey Milk was his name.
Yeah. And then the whole thing with Feinstein, she kind of was part of that whole thing. And then that,
she benefited from it. Her political career took off for that. She
Jonestown, Jim Jones. He was kind of in the milieu at the time. Very prominent, high profile within the mix there.
And he also had some inappropriate contact with, he had pedophilic sensibilities,
I would imagine, I shouldn't put it that way. I should say it wouldn't surprise me.
But I was just trying to show that as kind of a streak within American, that culture, that these type of things, you know, do happen. They're covered up.
Yeah, and it's so that's the thing. People say they try to, you know, say, oh, Pizzagate and Comet Pizza, or I'm sorry, Comet.
Yeah, it's Comet Ping Pong.
Oh, Comet Ping Pong.
Comet Ping Pong was the name of the place that was up on, I think, Connecticut. But both of those terms actually have kind of a secondary meaning. You know, comet is a relationship that burns brightly and disintegrates, kind of like a comet that passes by. So it kind of has a term of a kind of an endearment of like a relationship, a personal relationship. And then ping pong, for some strange reason, ping pong pops up in pedophilia. For some reason, it's also kind of a known, very graphic sexual position. And an interesting thing about ping pong is there's a ping pong sequence in the film Lolita by Stanley Kubrick. And Arthur C. Clarke was a pedophile and he picked up kids at ping pong parlors. And out front of Comet Ping Pong were ping pong tables.
That's something a lot of people don't like to talk about, Arthur C. Clarke, when he's accusations of his predilection, if that's
yes,
the right word.
It is.
His fetish for, I'm not sure if it's young girls and boys, but that's one of the reasons people say he moved to Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Yes. He actually stated in a interview when he was interviewed in one of the Murdoch out pieces, I mean, kind of rags, that has actually been suppressed from the internet. You can't find this interview anywhere. But he said that that's why he moved to Sri Lanka, is that they didn't have any prohibitions against pedophilia. And he talked about paying young boys, you know, 14, 15-year-old young boys for sex.
Just
the interesting thing about Clark is that he was a very high-functioning, super intelligent guy who actually created, you know, he had the idea for geosynchronous satellites. He worked on 2001 with Kubrick. This was somebody, and he wrote all of these books that people reference, Childhood's End, all these other so-called sci-fi books. So this was a very talented, intelligent guy, maybe perhaps even considered illuminated, but also involved in this type of practice that unfortunately is all too common within illuminated elites.
I think that's a mistake a lot of people do make, is that, well, he seemed like a really nice guy, or really bright, and had all these things going for him. Then you find out what you didn't know up to that point was that there were a lot of skeletons that they had in their closet. I mean, there's a lot of smiling psychopaths. There, you know, a lot of psychopaths are well known for their charisma and ability to charm and whatnot. So we got to be careful and on guard. Not falling for that kind of crap.
There's no, if you look at Ted Bundy or Paul, this guy, Paul Bernardo, who was in Canada, they got away from the cops because they just smiled their way out of it. Nobody ever believed that they were guilty of these crimes, you know, these heinous murders and rapes and stuff.
Zane Ivey and others here in the streaming YouTube chat area, there's a lot of talk about the military-industrial complex, the CIA being a pedophile network, Eisenhower and his Freemason buddies, too. Hugh Mint, you might want to write this down or make a note of this at least. William, H-U-M-I-N-T.
Human intelligence.
Ah, human intelligence. Okay, mm-hmm. I guess that's something that they're just chatting about there amongst themselves. DynCorp is one of the, of course, names that jumps out here. Zane Ivey typing that in. A lot of just things are really, as I said, heating up. Scrolling through the chat here to see if there's... Okay, well, we can come back to that later, I suppose. Here's what I really would like to know. We talked about Alex Jones earlier. Why did he make the retraction?
Well, I think that, you know, he's part of a very large media empire now that has a lot of value. And I believe, in my opinion, that retraction was due to a threat that has been going around to anybody who's really been commenting upon this whole event, is that they've been threatened. And I believe he was threatened, and that's why he made that kind of very legalistic retraction.
Yeah, that was my guess as well, too, at least one of the possibilities, of course. So,
I mean, the other thing is that all the information about that has kind of decreased. You know, the election is over. It's pretty clear Trump is in power. And so many people that are involved in this whole scandal obviously want to wash their hands and get their reputations back to where they were before the revelations of what happened. So I'm assuming that this kind of attempt to kind of clean up things is taking place. And there have been other people who have had contact with Alefantis, who, you know, he has threatened them with lawsuits. So it seems like that's what's going on.
Speaking of Alefantis, isn't it interesting to note that his name, I'm not even sure if he was born with that name, but just coincidentally enough, from French translates into English as les enfants, the children.
That's so remarkable.
Mm-hmm. A little bit about the... Well, the Hollywood culture that you referenced earlier, Milo in particular, yeah, I think it was during the Rogan interview that he brought that up. It's a big thing. In fact, I think, wasn't it X-Men or the Avengers director, Bryan Singer, pulling this kind of crap, supposedly? Is there anything?
Well, there's very disturbing pictures of Singer with young boys. And it's my understanding from third parties that he actually seeks out younger men to spend time with. And that one guy, I can't remember his name offhand, but he, I think, included Singer in his lawsuit, which was retracted at some point. But yeah, Singer and his associates, very disturbing stuff. There's other people involved. There was I think it was Amy Berg directed West of Memphis for Damien Eccles, which was, in my opinion, a propaganda piece. But she also did a documentary about pedophilia in Hollywood, which was attacked and reviled. But I think it included a lot of names, people who were alleged to have been procurers of young men, you know. So, you know, and you talk about, what's the other guy, Corey Haim, says that the big secret in Hollywood is pedophilia.
That was Corey Feldman. But you can bet pretty much almost, you know, quite safely assume that he saw some of that himself firsthand before he overdosed, supposedly.
He was using pharmaceuticals. And I think they said in his autopsy he had an enlarged heart, but the pharmaceuticals didn't help, and that's kind of what put him over the edge. But there were allegations that were made that his abuser was Charlie Sheen. He had come up in all these things, and I think that Corey Feldman had vaguely implicated Charlie Sheen in these kind of abuses. And Sheen was friends with Jones, and also the Inquirer wrote a story about him as being a spreader of HIV. He exposed people as Robin Wright and Winona Ryder to the HIV virus. And I don't know the validity of that story that was in the Inquirer, but that's what they wrote.
Just to be clear here, you're saying that the allegations are that Charlie Sheen potentially gave Winona Ryder the HIV virus?
Correct. Winona Ryder and Robin Wright and a whole group of people, at least that was what was in the Inquirer article.
You know, the National Enquirer has actually, in many ways, it's proving to be
Broken a lot of stories. Yeah, they've broken a lot of stories. And I'm saying that's what the Enquirer wrote. I'm not saying that's what I say. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that that was in an article that they put out. It's a very important distinction.
You know, it's really important, too, within the present milieu and just the context, the day and age, the times we find ourselves here, all this talk of fake news. You know, and Pizzagate in particular, to blame Russia, you know, all these seeming psyops that are being run to, you know, essentially mess with people's minds and just, you know, assert this ongoing mind control campaign, really. And it's a question of, well, what do you believe and what do you reject? Is this true or is this not? And so many of these official news agencies, CNN, Fox, I mean, just the whole gamut, you name it. I don't watch TV here at all. We haven't done the mainstream news in years. And the relationship with those institutions and outlets and this Operation Mockingbird. They say it was a program that was in place for a number of years back, I guess, started in the 60s, 70s, so forth, and maybe even as far back as the 50s. So I'll check out Wikipedia here in just a second, see what comes up. But it's no longer, it basically doesn't exist anymore. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right.
So, I mean, come on, the context of fake news, Ron Paul has come out, and there's been many others, not too many other prominent figures that I can think of, but basically calling them out, saying, yeah, it's these mainstream outlets, they're the real fake news. And then we've got ourselves, you know, with us here, Pirate Radio Podcasts and the Robin Hood, WPRPN and the like, we really quite strongly consider ourselves to be part of the Fifth Estate. We want the truth. You know, that's all. Just give us just the facts, please, just the truth. And if people can't handle that, then I guess it's just something that they're going to have to deal with. That's just the way it is, you know. So there's no bullshit around here at all, especially when it comes to molesting and traumatizing. Sometimes even possibly has been talk of ritualistic murders of children. How many? I have no idea, although there have been recent reports of something in the area of 500 children missing just this year from the Washington, D.C. area alone. Do you know about that? Sure. Have you heard that story?
No, I've read that. I heard that there's an anomaly in Virginia, that there are more children missing per capita than other states around the Union. And right now, there's a missing young women young African-American women are missing in D.C. proper inside the city. There's like 20 women who've been found missing. So, you know, something's going on.
This isn't children, once again, but this is like women of the
night.
Let me count
it. I have it right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 young African-American women between the ages of 13 and 18 had disappeared from February 1st to March. No, sorry. January 27th to March 10th.
How about that? So let's see. Valkyrie is there on the sidelines. We should let people know, too, not to forget one of our latest additions and crew members here that we have on the Robin Hood. She's feeling a little bit under the weather at the present moment. Unfortunately, she's not able to come onto the mic, though she's helping out with the technical end of things from behind the scenes. So that's great. Also chiming in, offering her 2 cents here from time to time in a live streaming YouTube chat. If you people have any questions for William, now's the time. We've got another 45 minutes or so to go. But, you know, no time like the present. If you'd like to kind of pump his brain or see what he has at his disposal that he's able to share with us here and try to work on getting a better understanding or more clarity on the particulars here surrounding not just Pizzagate based out of the Washington, D.C. area, but, you know, what we find happening all around the world. We've touched on that here, of course, mentioning the Seville, that whole scandal, as well as countries like Sri Lanka, where, as William pointed out, Sir Arthur Clarke, isn't it interesting, too? He was knighted by the Queen. How about that? Had free rein in that country to do as he pleased with whatever child he found most appealing. So
young boys.
You know, it's interesting. Speaking of this, there's nowhere that you can go, it seems, without this being an issue. I would even imagine some Islamic countries, too, although they want to keep it quite under wraps and not really so much out in the open. We could really get into a real can of worms there, the Islamic tradition and so forth, starting with who was one
Muhammad.
Of his wife, his eight-year-old wife.
Aisha.
Yeah, we'll leave. I think everyone's kind of up to speed on that, more or less. And
She was nine when they consummated their relationship.
And to be a good Muslim, you know, a good Muslim man, you're expected to live exactly in accordance with the way Muhammad did. So I would imagine.
He's the optimal ideal. So if you want to engage in pedophilia, murder, rape, you know, that was Muhammad. What Muhammad did is he would kill off the husbands and then marry the women and then have sex with them. So it wasn't technically rape, but he just would do impromptu marriages.
Jeez, how about that? Well, what I was going to mention in addition to this is South Korea and how with the K-pop industry, there was a huge scandal. People can go back into the archives if they like. I think his name was JYP. I don't know his exact Korean name, but heavily implicated in the... it was a show that we did on the Sewol, sinking of the Sewol ferry with Korean anti-cult expert Peter Daly. Korea, apparently per capita, is a country with the world's largest number of cults. So this is one of the main ones that they had in place at the time. And this JYP actually had married into the cult leader's family. He himself was a scion of the K-pop industry, a real major figure, and said to have been perhaps part of this whole procurement culture and industry, which you find it's, you know, you talk about politics and conspiracy. Well, I think this is a real central and integral part of things in the sense of once you've got the goods on someone, as far as, you know, being with an underage kid, you know, whether it's male or female, I guess it doesn't really matter as far as that goes, but they're blackmailed and they're totally incapable of doing anything which is outside or against your will, you being their political overlord and master. South Korea, though, there's an interesting video link. We'll share it there in the show notes. I'm not sure if you saw it or not. The Killing Room. I'm not sure. Have you seen the video or not? It appeared, supposedly, these claims and allegations are being made, that it was part of this Korean music video that was put together a number of years ago. Have you come across that yet?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Well, I'll have to track it down here for you. In fact, I think it might have been, I'm not sure if I added it to the top of the chat here with the links or not, but we'll manage to get a hold of it here in a second. Pictures, basically streaming video of, I don't think there was children involved necessarily, but people locked up. Usually scantily clad women, as I recall. I didn't watch the whole thing, and I kind of got the basic gist of it. But they were prisoners, and it was, you know, with a pounding beat of techno K-pop music in the background. And just typical occult, like, for those with eyes to see. You know, and so many people, of course, it seems, are really oblivious to all of this. Some people get it, I suppose, and they either think it's a great thing, because there are those out there who think, oh, this is wonderful. This is great. You know, we need more of that. And there's others who, of course, are quite disgusted and turned off by it all. And they see what's going on, really, and how these attempts are being made to program society on so many levels. Let's not forget, too, even if the protocols of the learned elders of Zion is false, and that it was totally cooked up and made to portray certain people, I guess in this case, the Jews, in a negative light. Isn't it interesting, whether it was an actual, you know, bona fide set of documents or not, that pretty much everything they laid out in the protocols is what we're seeing occur and happen today? It's, you know, it's like we're living through the age of apocalypse is kind of the way I can't help but see things. So now, is there anything that we have not hit on or covered to this point which you would like to really kind of get out there? You've got a couple websites, of course, that we let people know about in the lead up to things. We're about almost a little past the middle of our discussion here today, the midpoint section. So maybe now would be a good time to let people hear about where they can find you online.
All my stuff is available on Amazon, so you can get all three of my books, Prophet of Evil, Abomination, and Children of the Beast. Those are all Amazon. And if you're in the States, you can get signed copies at occultinvestigations.com. And I post often on Facebook and at my WordPress site, which is Occult Investigations. And I'm on Twitter under William Ramsey. So if people want to get in touch with me or have any questions, they can do so on Facebook or Twitter.
Okay, very good. So we got the link here. Comet Pizza Kill Rooms, Basement Shown in 2014 Korean Music Video. Looks like Will Smith and his son are all, they're all smiles here and visiting Korea. They're up on the stage there. This is kind of how the video's kicking off, being interviewed. So, and then it just leads later into all of these, as I said, these dancing, these kind of poor zombified young ladies, as I recall, scantily clad, locked up in cages, essentially.
Interesting. And there was one aspect of Podesta's email where he said, I'm out of the dungeon, or just left the dungeon, or something like that. And then there was that kill room within the Jimmy Comment or James Alefantis Instagram where, you know, it's like a strange room and somebody writes, hashtag murder, hashtag WWDJD, you know, drunk tank. Pretty wild what the comments were on the Instagram account where the werewolves locked themselves up during the full moon question. Somebody asks.
And these are comments that are coming out. I don't do Instagram, but you're saying this is Elefantis and his Instagram account.
Correct. That's correct. Which he locked up subsequent. Once people started investigating him, he locked those up and made it private. But somebody was smart enough to screenshot her.
Yeah. Isn't that something? As soon as the heat comes down, everything's got to get, suddenly they're like, oh boy, here we go. It's like, well, they're on to us now. And they changed all the murals.
Yeah, all the art changed, all the pizza symbolism's gone. The picture of the German baby for $1,200 is gone. Oh. The one with a kid taped down to the table's gone. You know, so the high strangeness that was there is not to be found anymore.
What do you think about the authenticity or reality of there being this supposed kill room that has been discussed? I've seen pictures, I'm not sure how accurate they are, of holes and different construction supposedly going on where they're digging through walls and into the ground. Allegedly, I think, on the Comet Pizza premises.
Within the Jimmy Comet stuff, there was all kinds of strange digging, and somebody investigated those and found that the bricks on the wall were consistent with some kind of strange building that was just north or directly north of the White House, and it was called the Pegasus Museum. But what was odd about the Pegasus Museum is it had no windows on the first floor, and it was directly in the middle of a city block. you could only access it through an alley. It's a very weird building, and nobody's really come forward and had an adequate or publicly reasonable explanation for that building and why they called it a museum, because it clearly isn't something that's open to the public.
For the Truth here is commenting via the YouTube live streaming area that there's a reason why gay people have a certain look. That's interesting. I'm not sure what they mean by that exactly, but I have noticed myself, you talk about people, you know, with gaydars, whether it's, I guess, you know, men or women. I don't think mine's the greatest particularly. Sometimes, you know, pretty much it's, you know, managed to detect or see what's, you know, clearly the case. But what about a pedodar, that sort of thing? And that I've noticed there are certain males, and let's not forget, there are women that have a predilection. There's that big word again, folks, that they've got a thing, or it's their fetish is, you know, sexual deviancy with children. There's been numerous, teachers and, daycare workers and just you name it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because within the, emails, within the Podesta emails, there was something that somebody keyed into right away, which was this whole thing about the three kids, Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve Luzzatto, 11, 9, and 7, where she writes, Bonnie B will be in Uber service to transport Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve Luzzatto, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in that pool for sure. Like, how weird is that? Who writes that to a grown man? And the names Ruby, Emerson, and Maeve reference a three kids that are from a movie. It's not, those aren't even their real names. So why are you disguising the names of the children and telling some grown man that the kids will be in the pool, 11, 9, and 7?
What movie is that? What movie are we talking about?
I can't remember. It was...
That might be significant.
I'll have to look it up.
Sure.
Let me check.
Not a problem. Let's see. We've got a lot of... This is great. People wanting to be quite engaged and active. Clearly, Pizzagate is a hot issue these days throughout some quarters. So we've covered a lot of ground here, including the what people have seen and worked on investigating via Comet Pizza and so forth, as well as just the wider, more systemic problems as far as the world of politics and how so often pedophilia and evidence of which is used as blackmail.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I talked, when this whole thing came out, I called and had an hour-long conversation with a lady who was a profiler from Belgium. And she covered the totality of the Dutroux events that happened in Belgium, if you know those, or something very similar. But she was interesting. Her comment was that 90% of what happened with the Dutroux event was for blackmail. And I found that to be very interesting. You can listen to the entirety of that interview on my website or YouTube channel, William Ramsey Investigates. I think it was really one of the more important interviews that I've ever done. And it showed that she had, you know, she had basically kind of knew everything that was associated with Pizzagate, something that was going on that involved little kids. And basically the Dutroux event, or the Affaire Dutroux, as they would say in Belgium, involved a guy who was abducting children. There were like 14 or 10 kids that disappeared. They only found five of them, but they was involved with somebody who was involved with a bunch of very high-level figures in Belgium. And the entire investigation was stalled, manipulated, and curtailed by sinister, deeper forces that almost brought the entire country to a revolution or to an overthrow, because the people were so angry. They knew that they were being hoodwinked. And the involvement of a whole group of people was talked about by these young children. They called them the X-Files. So you had X1 through 13, and they talked and named names, but they were all discounted. People said that they were liars. But it's a very fascinating case, something that happened, the Dutroux Affair, D-U-T-R-O-U-X.
Satanic cults, I believe, too, figured quite prominently within that whole scandal as well, did they not?
Yeah, they called, it was interesting. One of the girls called this guy Nihul, N-I-H-O-U-L, who got off scot-free, who was supposedly Dutroux's handler. She called him the party beast, which I found to be an interesting term, because Crowley called himself the beast.
Based a pizza.
That's the pizza's beast pizza, which had the pedophile symbol. Yeah, so there are strange corollaries between these cases, same terminology.
Valkyrie actually here has just commented in via Skype that she's wondering whether or not this, what you mentioned earlier regarding African women disappearing, this the reports that came out not so long ago, I think the numbers were somewhere, as you said, they weren't that, they're significant, even just one person. I mean, if it was me being abducted and killed, that would be pretty significant to me, I'm sure. But in this case, there was like, what do you say, 15, 20? But what I think she's getting at here is that it was used as a kind of limited hangout in wider context of there being over, you know, up to 500 missing children. So if you know what I mean, like a limited hangout where they give you right. some of the picture.
There's only 14, but there's actually 200 that are missing. Well,
There you go.
Yeah, I think that people are still investigating. People are still looking into these events, so... You know, there's a high likelihood that other information will come out in the future.
What can you do, though? It's so amazing when people, you know, such as ourselves, and it depends, of course, too, how deeply you really want to get involved in things. It can be, as I think you've made clear and we've seen as well, too, just if we have spent any time looking into this, it can be quite dangerous. So people really do have to watch their step, not only from a legal standpoint, threats of having to face legal suits, but also from, people.
Yeah, you can get killed.
Look at Breitbart. Why don't you comment on what happened there? Some people that might not be up to speed.
I think he was in bad health. He had actually been to the doctor a year before, and they said he had heart disease. And then he basically died in Brentwood here in L.A., kind of on the west side of 405. He turned red and died. Some people think it was murder. He wasn't in great shape. He didn't take care of himself. He was actually overweight for his age, so, and under a lot of stress. He had actually talked about, interesting, in one of his tweets, he had talked about Podesta running. I can't remember the exact terms, but something about blackmail operations,
That
was 2012. Yeah.
That was his last tweet, if I'm not mistaken. His last tweet actually called out Podesta and this whole business of procurer of children for the political elite. So what's really interesting, too, is that with John Podesta, and let's not forget his brother Tony and just the bizarre artwork that this guy has in his collection. I'm not sure about John himself. But just looking at him, speaking of the gaydar and so forth, the pedodar, yeah, John Podesta would definitely, he'd be right there on mine.
Art is a doorway to the soul, you know, it's a very disturbing doorway for both of the brothers. And the thing that Andrew Breitbart wrote was, how Prague guru John Podesta isn't household name as world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs escapes me. So, very strange thing from Breitbart, and this was 4th of February 2011.
Let's not forget, too, John Podesta, we haven't heard too much from him as of late. Apparently, he's totally, you know, he's done all that he's been able to kind of, you know, stay out of the public spotlight. I think there's been one or two little interviews that he's done, mostly softball sort of questions. I guess they kind of work things out ahead of time that there wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't be put under too much pressure. But for many years, he's been a big supporter and advocate of a UFO and alien disclosure, has he not?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because there's a picture of him standing next to author Peter Lavenda, and I think it was the guitarist for the band Blink 182. His name, well, I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name? The guys who wrote Secret Machines?
I do. You're talking about the band member from Blink 182 or just some? Oh, gosh. No, I know.
So the band member of Blink 182, his name is Tom DeLonge.
That's right.
And he wrote this book, Secret Machines, I think with the involvement of Lavenda. And there's a picture of Lavenda, Tom DeLonge, and Podesta sitting together that I came across. And Lavenda has pretty much been confirmed as the author with a variety of other people of the Necronomicon. So it's a very interesting kind of event as these guys are involved in, you know, so-called disclosure.
What are your thoughts then? I'm not sure how much you really want to get into it here on the record.
I think it's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised about Podesta's occult connections. There has been a recent revelation of Lavenda being involved in an OTO ritual filmed with a group of OTO members. I've heard that he is on a podcast with a bunch of OTO members. So the fact that he's involved in all this, I would find remarkable that he's associated with Podesta and having pictures taken with him. And Podesta, and actually, I mean, I don't want to get too involved, but I know a lot of stuff about that whole thing.
pictures alone, of course, we got to be careful with jumping to too many conclusions. It doesn't look very good. But then there's the old guilt by association fallacy, which, I don't know. I'm not sure if there's anything more, because Lavenda, of course, very prominent author, done of a lot of work over the years into various, like the Nazi, the rat lines via the Vatican, and the nine, these mystical kind of...
He's tried to...
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that he had also, he had written something recently where he was trying to tie Lovecraft to Aleister Crowley. There's the name of that book. I think it was like Dark Shadows or something like that.
Well, we'll have to look into that. Isn't it interesting, too, that the way that with this, I think it was 1970s, Dungeons and Dragons and numerous other things, but Jack Chick, I guess, who just recently died with those little kind of pamphlets or comic books that he would put out back during that time. The Satanic Panic Hysteria, which, once again, downplayed, I guess, you know, somewhat promoted by or embraced and addressed by the mainstream media. But at the same time, you've got a lot of people that really just think it's a lot of nonsense and want to shoot it down. People, like, if I'm not mistaken, including, now, I gotta, don't quote me on this, but not sure about James Randi, the amazing debunker. James Randi, done a lot of great work over the years, I would say, but, you know, no one's perfect, of course, either, and sometimes people are a little too full of themselves, and, you know, but they gotta be careful with things that they say and do. But I think Penn and Teller in particular, these sort of types, and once again, I'd have to look into that a little more and get them actually as being quoted on the record, so don't hold me to it. But skeptics, so they're skeptical of, you know, Satanic Panic, when I think it's been shown quite clearly that there are these abductions and ultimately, you know, ritual murders that do occur. It's not just people's imagination. Like, how many people throughout America go missing every year? It's about 100,000 or something like that?
There's a very high number. Many of them are returned to their families, but there is a very high number, and people of all different types. But I think that the whole concept of Satanic Panic or witch hunt or conspiracy theorists were forwarded by people with an interest in curtailing investigations into certain subjects. And it was a way to create kind of this social... you know, negativity towards people who actually looked into occult crimes.
Just like what we're seeing here with the whole Pizzagate thing, where people, it's the critics at least, they want to just focus on Pizzagate and try to strawman anything that
It's fake. It's fake news. These people are fakes. They're making stuff up. And when people say that, they just hope they never look at the Podesta emails or the Elefantis Instagram pictures.
I can't believe Alex Jones did what he did. I'm just, that really was... that did not reflect well on him and his operation at all, frankly. Although, as you say, I guess in his mind, he really just has too much at stake to go out on any more of a limb.
Do you know what's frightening about Alex Jones and what he's becoming? He's becoming part of the establishment. That's what I think is why this general denial was made.
And who knows, you know, what sort of skeletons he actually has in his closet. Tila Tequila, she's a, you know, a little bit out there, to put it mildly. But I think I did see her in one of her her vlog sort of ramblings, sort of, that she targeted or she fingered Jones as being part of some satanic activity, or even maybe having raped her or something like that. There's some, unless she's taken it down, I think there still is that video out there, but who knows?
Well, it's known that he had a very costly divorce and remarried some woman by the name of Erica Wolf, W-U-L-F-F, and she's having his baby. Another Jones, she's due May 5th, 2017.
Another?
So if you type in E-R-I-K-A Wolf, she was a yoga teacher somewhere in Austin, so...
Name like Wolf.
Very interesting, but you know, you'll never hear any stories about that he got remarried on InfoWars, that's for sure.
Another Jewish American princess, perchance?
Unknown.
The thing about Jones too, and I think, you know, honestly, I do feel like he presents and provides a lot of great information, and that, you know, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. At the same time, the histrionics, and just the flamboyant nature with his delivery and presentation, it's really quite, it's quite over the top, obviously, and I guess it appeals to some people.
It appeals to his base. I think it's kind of like he's talking to the people who, if you don't talk in histrionics, they won't respond, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's unfortunate. I think it's basically the WWE group type, so it's unfortunate.
David Seaman, that's a name you've probably heard a little bit about. He actually, I was looking into it just this past week and didn't know up until that point. He'd been on the Joe Rogan show quite a few times up till where I guess supposedly he made some claims regarding Bitcoin. He got Joe to invest in Bitcoin. To what degree, I have no idea what sort of dollar, what sort of numbers we're talking there exactly, but he did that, and I think Bitcoin crashed, so Joe was not too pleased by that, and that's around the time that he kicked him off the show, basically never having him back.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that part of the story. But David Seaman doesn't tell that part of the story.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about it now, I suppose. Make that connection, connect those dots. I'm guessing there's a few people listening, too, that have never heard that little juicy little tidbit either, but it is worth discussing and getting out there, of course. But
I think my understanding of Seaman is he claimed himself to be the person who broke the Pizzagate story.
So
he explained that for himself, which is it's preposterous. It's laughable. Yeah, there were hordes of people who were involved in exposing that whole story, and he was definitely not some kind of first mover or anything like that. But I think that that shows his kind of sharp practice as a journalist to claim that for himself and create an audience. I think he did an excellent job of doing that as a journalist in the kind of modern media landscape.
Apparently he was very active on Reddit at the time too. And the thing about Reddit is that one of the things is that, I'm guessing you're aware of this, they supposedly shut down and censored any talk or reference of Pizzagate whatsoever. The real kicker to all this is that
they didn't just shut it down, they destroyed the entire thread. So the entire thread got moved, and then everybody had to move to vote.co and these other kind of things to actually talk about it. Steam it and vote.co. So everything got put back up. And I think 4chan, actually, there was some kind of censorship on 4chan.
On top of this, let's not, the assertions that were made, the irony to things, of course, here too, is that the founder and CEO of Reddit is, well, there's allegations and assertions being made that he's a cannibal of some sort.
I heard that. He was on one of the other threads talking and joking about cannibalism. I remember that.
Just a quick update here. We got Lord Stompy on the other end of the line here via Skype. We might be able to get him to join us here for the last few minutes. He's really quite a hoot, and so we'll see if we can do that.
Let's do it.
We'll see if he's able to. It looks like he's ready to go. I'm not sure. It's a bit of a climb up there into the crow's nest. It might take him a little while. Stompy, have you made it up there into the crow's nest, or how are things?
Hi.
You got it?
Hi, Captain.
It's been
a heavy night.
It's great that you did make it here for the last 10 minutes or so of the show. How are things looking there from up on the crow's nest?
They're looking wavy, sir. Aye.
We've been here in kind of docked in the Skullport Harbor up until now, but we can do a quick little trip out through the bay and take a gander and bit of a tour to see how things look out there, but it's great you finally managed to make it on board once again. Yeah, we've got William Ramsey here, a California-based lawyer, author, occult researcher, and documentary maker. Stompy, have you heard of William? You know, we did a show with him last year, of course. Are you up to speed on any of his work at all?
I have heard his name in passing reference to a few things, but I'm not up to speed on his exact types of work.
Okay, well, look, we only got a few minutes here, so I think this might be a good time, since you're here, we can kind of tie things together and turn things back to William, see if we can, because you're based out of Adelaide, Australia, of course.
Yes.
You've got a few stories to share with us regarding these sordid matters, I'm sure. You haven't been able to hear what we've been discussing up to this point, but any similar sort of Pizzagate-related scandals that you can offer the, you know, listeners from where you see things and just your knowledge of these matters as far as all this business is concerned?
Well, in my hometown here, we've got a very heavy presence of a lot of occult sort of societies and a very heavy Freemason presence too. So I have said this on the show before, but we got hit with a Pizzagate, a very major Pizzagate scandal in the late 80s when very rich elite people were literally kidnapping and abusing hundreds, if not thousands, of children in my city. Considering my city's only 1 million people, it was very extreme. And in the end, the parliament here, state parliament, had to have an inquest into all the goings-on. And they ended up burying most of the findings in something called the Mulligan Report.
Probably not just the findings, including a few bodies, too, from the sounds of things.
Yeah, one or two minor players in it got arrested. One was called Justice Liddy. He was a chief justice, and for years he'd been abusing little boys. Another guy was an associate of the elites called Bevan Spencer von Einem. He got caught abusing people and torturing them to death. There was one poor soul was it was a very bizarre case. It was a news presenter, Kevin Kreese. His son got abducted by this these elitists. At the time in the late 80s, this group styled themselves as the Family, and for some reason they kidnapped some news presenter's son and tortured him to death and sexually abused him. His body was found with incredibly bizarre torture, including the fact that sliced his anus open as part of some torture, and he'd been starved to death. And while they'd starved him to death, he'd also been kept on heavy doses of multiple drugs, some kind of drugs to keep him basically in a coma while he was starving to death so that they could prolong the torture. They're very sick, very evil.
Sounds to me like some real-life spirit cooking is what's going on there almost. That's just incredible. So, William, have you heard of any similar sort of... I mean, I'm not even sure how to describe the sort of thing. Your automatic kind of natural immediate reaction is to get very angry, but I think we have to stay, you know, calm, cool, focused, and just do what we can to make this more of an issue. It's good that the media has talked about it a little bit, but we're just going to have to keep doing what we are to maintain the discussion and discourse. But yeah, William, anything similar that you've heard of regarding like the success?
Well, I remember in the Belgium case, something like that happened to girls who were starved in a dungeon. So something like that, it does happen. You know, these things do happen.
Exactly. And speaking of spirit cooking and celebrities, Lady Gaga, of course, was one of the names that came out. But can you believe I actually heard Will Ferrell, which to me was made me sad.
And yeah, he was involved in some of those spirit cooking rituals, the public ones. And Lady Gaga was seen with Abramovich, and then she was involved in the campaign at some point doing a song or something. I forgot.
Stompy, have you heard of any other names that were part of the this Abramovich spirit cooking chic? They like to think it's chic. Avant-garde art exhibitions, presentations, however you want to frame it there. Anything, any other name?
All I know is that down at my neck of the woods, it's mainly high-profile lawyers, magistrates, and rich people. And being a bit of a man about town and a man on the streets, and I've met some, you know, once you meet some of the underworld characters, certain names connected with this group that's here called the Family. Underworld characters keep mentioning the same names as to who's behind it, and even some politicians seem to know who it is. So it's not really even much of a secret. There's one guy I know here. He was basically a street kid. He was a he was one of the best street fighters in the late 80s, and the he actually knew who several of the Family Guys were, because so many people got abducted off the streets, and yeah, all the people on the streets knew who a lot of these people were. They knew all knew them by sight. They're like, oh, here comes that Mercedes Benz that offers you drugs, and then you sort of disappear for a few days, and by the time you come back to the streets, you've lost your virginity in a in your hind end. And he actually had an experience where they did pick him up in the Mercedes, and because he was a very well-trained street fighter, he was only 17, so they were looking for young, innocent people. He wasn't that innocent, and the guy gave him a few Valiums or something, and after about 5 minutes, they were driving along, and the guy was this high-profile lawyer, grabbed him on the thigh, and this street fighter, because his reflexes were so good, he just, without even thinking, he smashed him full-on in the face. The guy got knocked out at the wheel, collapsed with his face on the steering wheel, and the Mercedes-Benz crashed into one of the major statues in the centre of town. And this friend of mine who was the street fighter, he was young and just on the ball. He did, first thing he did was reach in this guy's pockets, grab his wallet, ran with about $700 and all of his ID. So
little instant karma is what I would call that.
But then
I guess
he got to. Then it turned out he just ended up getting to know too much about who some of the main players were, because a lot of people were telling him, and he had to go underground for a fair while because the family began looking out for him. They wanted to take him out for knowing too much and for taking out the lawyers. So
let's not forget about that the one case that you and story you shared with us just a couple months ago too, regarding the biker gang leader who had reported on this, claimed to have been writing a book, naming names, and sharing all the particulars, you know, the who, what, where, when, why, and how. And just the day after this made the national press, I guess he walked outside a club where he had been frequenting and patronizing, and no one ever saw that guy again. That's how the story goes. Is that right?
Yeah, he's gone. He's pretty much gone. There's a few conflicting stories, but the end result is that no one knows what happened. He was the head of the biker gang, so he was a very powerful underworld figure. And as I said in the last radio show, I think it's quite telling that he actually was getting front page headlines that he was going to blow the lid on the whole thing. To me, it reeks of they actually knew that it sounds to me like they actually knew what he was going to do, and they set him up to get all the publicity, then disappeared him as an example to anybody who dares to open their mouth. The idea being, if one of the biggest bikers in Australia can disappear for threatening to blow the lid on something like that, then anyone can. So
Dorothy Kilgallen, same sort of deal, where she, same words and same approach, and after talking with Ruby in his jail cell, one of the few reporters who managed to achieve that feat, shared with a friend, her comment was she was going to blow the whole lid off the assassination of the president, and was found dead within just a couple days. Marilyn Monroe, another kind of it's very similar scenario. So, William, just one of the things that actually was shared here by Valkyrie in the Skype chat is that essentially saying how she's not surprised. Most celebrities would most likely be a part of it. I think this is talking about the spirit cooking showcases or what have
right.
you, and possibly in exchange for their fame or Illuminati.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of what the bargain is, right? So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
A lot of that in Hollywood, too. I'm not sure if you, well, you are based out of L.A., rubbing shoulders with too many of the jet setters, the Hollywood.
I wouldn't say I see the jet setters, no. I would definitely not.
All right, well, Stompy, it's great that you managed to make it here. We are just wrapping up. It's about that time. I'm just quickly reviewing the notes that we've got here to, well, there's talk about child coffins, of course, and just all the symbology. I know you've addressed that in other shows that you've done in the past. Keanu Reeves, though, and, oh, geez, I didn't write the guy's name down, but I can almost, who produced the Double Fantasy album? another nice Jewish guy. Gosh, David Geffen. There we go. Thank you, memory. Keanu Reeves, I remember hearing, I don't think he talked about it, or maybe he did, but he was one of these boy toys in his early part of his career where he, you know, attended one of David Geffen's famous parties, I guess, probably still holding them even today, I'd imagine. Well, he's got money to burn. Yeah, and kind of along the lines of what we're talking about earlier when Milo made his comments on the Joe Rogan show. Well, let's see. I'm not sure. I think we've pretty much almost called that a wrap, really. Is there any further things other than, of course, your contact information, websites, and the like that you would... Before we do that, though, the hypersexualization of children, too. That is a big issue, of course. Is there anything that you'd like to say in respect to that?
I would just say it's a crime and it's a sin. You know, basically, that's kind of an abomination. These people need to be exposed. So I would say that this show is a great addition to that aim.
Well, thank you. That's kind of what we're doing here. That is our what we're trying to help to bring about, as I said, like, you know, awareness and just maintain the discussion, ensure that people keep thinking about these issues that would otherwise get swept under the carpet. Senator Nancy Schaefer and the Franklin cover-up. I'm not sure if those two tie into each other or not. I think she was a senator, not a congresswoman. I may be mistaken, but the
Schaefer was, I think, out of Georgia, if I remember correctly.
And Barney Frank, the male prostitution ring that was being run out of the White House during the Bush-Reagan era, that broke into the mainstream and then got...
Yeah, I have pictures. Do you know that Barney Frank is good pals with Elefantis and his former boyfriend, David Brock, right?
I do now, I guess. Wow. So, but he was facing charges, I guess, at one time or another for acting in the capacity of a procurer of underage.
Right, his roommate was basically a prostitute, Barney Frank's roommate.
How about that? So, and another thing just quickly here that really kind of blows my mind is the way that I think you might have even, this might have come up in one of the interviews that you did not so long ago. Freeman Fly, of all people, is the assertion, allegation that was made is that he, in fact, was part of a documentary film project or something like that with Elefantis, or one of these guys who just once again was, you know, pictures were taken with the guy and that sort of thing. Do you know about that?
I vaguely remember hearing something about that, but I don't know the totality of it.
We'll have to look into that a little more. So, DynCorp, of course, two people, don't forget, heavily implicated in human trafficking. The Clinton Foundation, all the children that have been disappearing out of Haiti, the way that so much money has gone into the Clinton Foundation over the years, billions of dollars. It's systemic, as has been said here. Over the course of our discussion, it's a lot more than what some people would want to have us believe. That's my take on things, at least. So, quickly, though, William, before we transition off into the after show, the premium content end of things here in the Rogues Gallery, I'm not sure if you're going to join us there, if you have time or not, but there'll probably be a few people might want
to... I'll try to make it. I'll try to.
Just for a few minutes, even just, you know, whatever suits your schedule. Your website addresses, and I know you've got a YouTube channel up there, of course, too.
William, so on my YouTube, I've got tons of videos on YouTube. Some of them have dealing with Pizzagate. That's William Ramsey Investigates. You can call, I have West Memphis 3, Aleister Crowley, other occultism on there. So if you want to see some exposés on certain people, David Bowie, things like that, check it out. You can get my books at occultinvestigations.com, signed books if you're in the U.S., and then all my books are available on Amazon as well. So.
Okay, that's exactly what we were looking for there. I'm not sure if you have, sometimes authors have no control or say over things, but is there any way with listeners today that have heard our interview that if they were able to reference the fact that, yeah, hey, we heard you on Pirato Podcast, we'd like a copy of one of your books. I'm not sure if you'd be able to sign those necessarily or even offer a modest slight discount. The way we got things set up here is we actually, with all net profit we generate via the podcast and the wider network, half of all revenue actually goes back to help the grassroots. So we are very much focused on charity and charitable, you know, true to the Robin Hood spirit, charitable deeds and helping folks. But once again, sometimes authors have no say in things as far as...
I structured everything where I have 100% say.
There you go. Kind of putting you on the spot a little bit. We could maybe talk about that in the after show if you like, or you can just kind of, just off the top of your head, come up with a little offer that you might be able to make if people do contact you and say that they...
Sure. If you want like a 20% discount on any of my books, go to my website at occultinvestigations.com and then just type in the notes, Pirate Radio, and I'll give you a 20% discount.
That sounds great. And I think probably signing those books would hopefully not be that much of a problem.
You can autograph them for...
What did you say? Oh, I autograph all my books. Everything coming from my website gets autographed. Every book.
Okay. Just going to quickly check the streaming YouTube chat here to see if there's any final remarks, things that people would like to comment on or have their voices heard. Great discussion. A lot of very active, almost damn near 10 people. If you can imagine that, those are pretty good numbers. We're going to head off to the Howling Wolf here in just a second, folks. That about does it for this episode, show number 55 with William Ramsey. Before we sign off, though, we would like to send our best to Joe Aminon and his daughter. She recently decided to become engaged, so friends and family look forward to her and her new hubby tying the knot. We're off to the Howling Wolf, folks. We'll see you in just a couple minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Once again, that about does it for this week's show, episode number 55, with the cult author and researcher William Ramsey. You can stick a fork in it. Just make sure no little kids get hurt. Don't forget, we've got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up. If you can't join us here today, be sure to keep an eye out for all our other upcoming features. Of course, if you've been a regular listener, enjoying the content we've been producing over the last year, it might be time for you to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. For the same price as a cup of coffee, you can help the Robin Hood keep sailing smoothly along each month. Kelly Freeman recently became our first official patron, pledging a whole 5 bones per episode. That's only because he's a super decent guy. For as little as $1 a week, you'll also win access to our regular behind-the-scenes premium Rogues Gallery content. Coming up next week, we have our Second Minds in-house World Indie Music Special. Hollywood muckraker Mark Ebner is now also scheduled to join us April 14th, to discuss the mysterious death of Kung Fu star David Carradine and all things Scientology. Shows featuring renowned Canadian ufologist Grant Cameron and an historic revisitation from Minds.com's co-founders Bill and John Ottman will round off April's quality jam-packed schedule. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or shoot us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN network domain links are now also available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, bloggers, or pretty much just anyone looking to boost their online visibility and reach. Would you believe? Many are going for as little as $1 a month. Well, 12 bucks a year might break some people's borderline budgets. It could also easily become one of the best little investments you ever made. Staking your claim helps not only to strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are rechanneled directly back into supporting various charitable causes. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!